And it is a new year. It's a new opportunity for a new you. So who wants to take up the challenge, be the change that you've always wanted to be, and take up some New Year's resolutions? Frankly, I don't either, actually. So, yeah, man, I'm like, you know what? I say we just remain on that same glide path toward higher taxes and certain death. Let's not do anything major. Let's just keep it the way it is. No, we're not going to do that either, right? Here's the thing, man. At this time of year, I know there's always this like, hey, let's do the New Year's thing. And I think there's a balance between kind of maintaining mediocrity and this idea of just gathering up all these resolutions we're going to try to attempt to do in this small slice of the overall pattern of life. And so I thought, man, I want to split some differences in there and at least kind of come at today and over the next couple of weeks from this place of like, we know there's things in our lives that are healthy, that are good, that we want to be a part of our lives, especially in our spiritual space, in our soul. And I wanted to just kind of focus on some of those things. And so we're going to have this little like micro series here at the beginning of the year just to do some of that, kind of settle us in for this next year and get us ready for life. Now, with that said, I want to let you know that come February, we're going to do a series that I have been looking forward to for a long, long time. It's going to eat up a good chunk of the year, but it is looking at the greatest sermon ever preached from the greatest preacher who's ever lived. It's looking at Jesus and a Sermon on the Mount. And you know me, man, this is the space I love. I love that passage of the Bible. And so I thought, man, let's just do a deep dive into some of that, and it's going to be very layered. We're going to be doing stuff here on Sunday mornings, but we're also going to be encouraging a podcast and videos and some other supplemental material from a ministry called The Bible Project. They did a whole year-long study of this last year, and so we're going to kind of graph that in as well. And so looking forward to that. But for now and for these next few weeks, I just wanted to do a thing as far as resetting, right? Just kind of taking that time, having that space to reset kind of our soul, to reset our body, to reset our mind, like to just take the opportunity to do that. And today we're going to start with that place of the soul. We're going to start with that idea of our spiritual life, our spiritual health, and having a little bit of a reset in that space. And so if you want to take notes today, we have an app, and in the app there's all sorts of things that you can fill in, the verses we're going to be looking at, and then that way you just have a resource for down the road, because you might find in a couple of months you're like, man, I'm a little dry spiritually, I need to kind of refocus and recalibrate. That would be a way you can do that. So you can use the app for that. With that said, I'm going to go ahead and pray right now, kind of settle this in a little bit, and then we're going to get right to business. So let's go ahead and do it. Jesus, I pray that, you know, as we kind of come into this new year, I know that we're all coming in under different conditions. Some of us are amped up. Some of us are drained out. Some of us are sick right now. I know a lot of sickness is going around. I know some of us are just kind of sick and tired of the things of life. Others are just feeling like everything's going exactly the way they want it to go. So we're across the board. But what we know is that where we are at with you, where our spiritual vitality is, really makes the difference in everything. And so I pray that as we are reminded of some things today, that we will graft those things in, that we will want to incorporate the changes or the little micro alterations that we need to engage in so that we can be more kind of spiritually fit in the things of life. So help us to do that. Give us guidance to do that. And may we look to you to do that as well. And so, Jesus, we love you and we thank you and we praise you in your good name. Amen. So when I'm not a pastor, on the side, I am a certified personal trainer. I have a certification through the National Academy of Sports Medicine. And normally you would think with those kinds of tools, I would be using some of that information in maybe like week two of this series on the body, right? But I actually find that when I look into that world, there's a lot in common with the spiritual things of life. I see a lot of crossover. And so I'm going to lean into that world a little bit today because I do think it gives some structure and design and some insight when it comes to what it means to kind of double down in our lives in a spiritual context. And so I'm going to do a little bit of a crossover with that. So let's say you came into our gym. So I'm over here at Thrive, love Shane and Jen and the whole crew over there. And so that's kind of where I hang out. And if you were to come in this week and sit down with me and you wanted to have a consultation as a client, there's some things that I would do. First of all, I would greet you in a very spirited way because I like everybody to be happy when they come into the gym. And then you would look and go, dude, you have solid yellow shoes on. Those are very bright. And I would be like, yeah, yellow's my jam. And so we would talk about that. And then I would bring you into the training room and I would say, all right, what brings you into the gym today? What is it that you want to focus on? What I find for men, it's all northern hemisphere. For women, it's southern hemisphere. That's the points of focus, man. It's always the same. And then everybody says, I want to lose weight. I want to go ahead and shed off some pounds and just be more fit in general, whatever it might be, right? And so it's a great conversation. We talk a little bit. And then immediately, I go into what I call Coach Matt's three R's. Coach Matt's three R's. And I draw a diamond either on a piece of paper or on a white marker board, whatever I got, and I walk through those fundamental R's. These are kind of the thing that I just go, this is the most critical stuff that you need to know in engaging in a fitness journey. So at the top of that diamond, the first R I put is resistance or resistance training. All right, and resistance training either is in the form of weights or cardio, right? So you're either wanting to develop strength or you're wanting to develop stamina. And what we need to do is we need to put stressors on your body so that your body adapts to that stress. So when you're lifting and lowering weights, that's a stressor. Your body adapts. It grows more muscle. If we put you on a treadmill or do some kind of cardio work, your body is stressed. It adapts, and you get more stamina. That's the idea. So I just walk through the essence of all of that. And what it means is I need to introduce kind of challenge into your life to induce a change in your body. That's fundamentally what happens with that first R. Then I'm going to drop to the bottom of the diamond. And there I'm going to talk about rest. And rest is also critical to the whole task because here's what's happening. When we put you under a load of weight, for example, we're stretching and tasking your muscles to where they tear a little bit in these micro tears. We're actually tearing your muscles. And then when you rest, your body uses proteins, amino acids, in particular nitrogen, to refill in all of those tears in your muscles with more muscle fiber, and that makes you strong. But you need the rest to do that. If you don't get the rest, but you're just working out like a crazy person, you're not going to have a lot of success. But then there's the third R. And the third R is this idea of refuel. Refuel. And in my equation, if on this little model, resistance is worth a point and rest is worth a point, refuel is actually worth 2 points. In other words, more than anything else, what you put into your body that's not good or what you don't put into your body that is good really makes the difference. So for example, I'll be watching somebody that comes into the gym faithfully for 6 months. They're lifting, they're getting after it, they're 3, 4, sometimes 5 times a week, and they just keep going and going and going, and then they'll come to me and say, I don't get it, man. I'm coming in here faithfully, I'm doing all the stuff. Why am I not gaining more muscle? And immediately I go to, give me your diet. Give me your diet. What we find most of the time is that even if they're eating okay or kind of good, they're not getting enough of that protein. So they're not giving the body the stuff that it needs to really develop the muscle fibers that they're trying to achieve. And so, well, that's kind of the problem. Or they'll say, hey, I'm doing all these crunches and sit-ups and I'm not getting a six-pack. Here's a really hard reality. Six-packs aren't built in the gym. They're built in the kitchen. That's where they're built, right? You got to be about 15% body fat and below to really show your six-pack abs, right? So that's not going to happen. And planks, some of you doing planks, I love that you're doing planks. They don't do much, but keep going anyway, all right? So, right, so there's all this stuff, right? But we go back to this idea that, man, if you want real success in the gym, it actually starts outside of the gym. It actually starts with that refuel. It's driven by the refuel. It mostly hinges on the refuel. Now, here's why I say all of that as we pivot into kind of the spiritual element of this. A lot of us think, hey, if I go to church and that's the mainstay of my spiritual development, I'm going to be doing awesome. But in reality, church is like the gym. Like, it's a good thing. It's a healthy thing. It's a right thing. You want it in the sphere of your existence. But what you do outside of here is going to contribute to your spiritual growth and health almost doubly, triply more, quadruply, I mean, you could take it further even, it's going to contribute more than simply coming on Sunday morning and being a part of church, right? And so if we want real spiritual vitality and health, we need to start looking at things from different perspectives. And so these three R's, I'm just going to build off of these to look at kind of our spiritual development. And so if I say refueling is worth 2 points in comparison to the other things, then we're going to start there in your notes. I want us to start embracing the need for right refueling in what we do, right? And that's number one, refuel, how we take in the necessary stuff to grow. How we take in the necessary stuff to grow. Now, when I do this, I'm just going to be focusing on positive health intake. I'm not going to be talking about the cutting stuff out. I'm going to get to that in the next point, because you got to cut some stuff out too, but you want to have some positive stuff. And so I'm going to push two things under this idea of intake. Both are important, but for different reasons, but they're important if you want to grow spiritually. And in this, if you want to grow spiritually, the key to spiritual growth is found in the first part of that word. Spiritual has at its front end spirit. So if we want to grow, we have to be those people that are perpetually and constantly inviting the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to have some stuff in our life, to take up some residence and do some things. Thus, underneath this point, that first thing is literally invite the Holy Spirit in our lives, in a daily, regular way, invite him in. Now, I don't mean this in sort of a theological way. I don't mean this in a charismatic way. I don't even mean this in a mystical way. I think I mean this more in kind of a intentional, relational way. That when we wake up and we're going through our day, we're just thinking like, all right, Jesus, I want your Holy Spirit to speak into my life. I want your Holy Spirit to push me in some things. I want your Holy Spirit to challenge me in some ways. I want your Holy Spirit to just have this activation in my person and in my presence. See, I bring this up because when you look at like the Gospel of John, which is the fourth piece of literature in the New Testament, from chapter 14 to chapter 16, Jesus talks all about the fact that, hey man, I'm going to give you a comforter, I'm going to give you a helper, I'm going to give you a guide, it's the Holy Spirit. When I go away, I'm going to send him into your life, and he's going to teach you these things, and he's going to shape you in these ways, and he's like, it's a big deal, right? Giving the Holy Spirit for us to grow spiritually in. And so what I love about that is not just that he emphasized it or taught it, but he also modeled it. He practiced it. In fact, it's interesting, in our values as a church, we have these seven values that we talk about. We talk about, like, take the Bible seriously and err on the side of grace and everybody sweeps. We have these different things. But at the top of that list is this idea of seek to be like Jesus. Seek to be like Jesus. And I think normally when we think about that, we think about things like, okay, I want to have his actions be my actions, or his disposition to be my disposition. But when we go a step deeper, here's what I love about Jesus. Jesus was motivated by, driven by, empowered by the Holy Spirit. So if I want to seek to be like Jesus, my first priority should be, I want to have the Holy Spirit then doing things in my life in a very overt way. In fact, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, you see this as a reoccurring theme. It starts in verse 1. It says, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was driven into the wilderness to be tempted. But then when he comes back out, Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Spirit's power. And then he goes to his hometown, and he opens the book of Isaiah, and he begins to read, and he speaks of the fact that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, and he is anointed by the Holy Spirit to do his ministry. And so when I read that, I go, if I want to be like Jesus, and Jesus was really just surrendered to and empowered by the Holy Spirit, then I want that same thing. I want that Holy Spirit connectivity in me to do the thing in and through me so I can be more like him. So if I'm going to be healthy spiritually, I've got to be dialed into the Holy Spirit. It's really kind of that foundational. Now you might look at that and go, well, what does that look like? What am I shooting for? What is it that I'm asking the Holy Spirit to do or produce in me that I need to have happen to be more like Jesus? Well, there's this great passage in Isaiah. I came across it this week, and it just kind of, in a weird way, stuck with me. Like, I'm like, oh, this is the stuff right here. So in Isaiah 11, starting in verse 1, It says, out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. And so this is kind of foretelling that there's going to be this future Messiah. He comes from the same family line as King David. And while the stump has been cut off and kind of, there's this whole new shoot that's going to be dynamic and different. And that's going to be Jesus. What's it say of Jesus then? And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. This is kind of the definer, the difference maker, right? The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by appearance nor make a decision based on hearsay. See, I dig this because it gives me, again, some direction. What does a life in and of the Holy Spirit look like? It's that list right there. It's such a great list. Like, I don't want my wisdom. I want the Spirit's wisdom. I don't want my understanding. I want the Spirit's understanding. I don't want it to be my might, his might. I don't want to be making judgments in my soul. I want the Holy Spirit to be giving me the wisdom and insight to make proper judgments. I don't want to be using hearsay. I want something more concrete. So I look at all of this and I go, man, that is a fantastic list, and it gives me a sense of direction. And what I really appreciate here, and the reason I believe it's so saturated with this language of the Spirit producing these things, is because when I look at that list, I go, it's a little different than just simply you sit in a class and you learn those things. Like, those things are more like apprenticeship things. Those are things that are generated more deeply, or maybe to put it differently, I think some of the things on that list are not to be generated in me as an individual as much as God kind of bringing and producing and welling those things up kind of in my life. Spirit-led traits. Because here's the thing I find about my own Christian expression and experience and everything else. I find that it's at its best when more and more of my humanness is pushed out of the way, and then the Holy Spirit is allowed to do what he wants to do. Like, when it's my wisdom and my strength and my might and my... It can get kind of dicey. But if I'm trying to, again, be like Jesus, and Jesus was led by the Spirit, and I'm wanting that same stuff, then these traits become true in my life. And so I just should be in that space of the intake, the refueling of just every day. Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? Holy Spirit, what do you want to say? Holy Spirit, what do you want to challenge in me? Holy Spirit, how do you want to speak in and through my life? What dispositions do you want me to have through the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Do that stuff in my life. All right, that's the first idea. I think closely linked to this, though, is that we need to have some stuff that we give the Holy Spirit to burn, like fuel to burn. And so that's really that second point. Invest into the stuff where God speaks, right? As much as we're saying, Holy Spirit, come in, it means I'm also going to be kind of taking in the stuff where I know that God can do some work. I think about Colossians chapter 3. He says, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Now that word fill, in other versions will say dwell. And the word there is used of kind of making itself at home in your life. That's really the essence of that Greek word that's used. And so I was thinking about that. I'm like, okay, if you come to my house and I want you to feel at home, what things do I need to do so that you feel at home? I've got to welcome you, value you, right? Prioritize you, kind of put you first in your time in my home, give you some access to my space. Hey, make yourself at home, mi casa su casa kind of thing, like that kind of deal, right? And it's the same, I think, with the stuff where God speaks. We want to be bringing it in, making it home, showing its priority, its value in our lives. Like, you know, I'm gonna do that kind of stuff and really let it settle in. And I think there's all sorts of ways to do this. I mean, you know, what are some of the ways that God speaks? Well, the first is we'd say the scripture, right? Having a Bible, reading your Bible. That's a great way to do it. Now, I know for some of you that comes easier. For others, you're like, I'm reading it, but I don't get it. It's confusing. Find the easiest English version you can. That can kind of help. But beyond this, there's other tools also where I believe God uses to really speak into our lives. So aside from scripture, God uses books written by people that love Jesus. So read some books. Maybe it's podcasts or audiobooks, right? Maybe it's articles or blogs of some kind. Maybe it's Christian music, and that's where God really speaks to you. Maybe it's some kind of devotional where it's just little bits throughout the day, or once a day for 5 minutes you do this thing and it just kind of reminds you of certain things. Maybe it's actually watching stuff. I know there's some critique and criticism around the show The Chosen, but frankly, I think it's awesome. And it gets us thinking and kind of hearing from God in different kinds of ways. Maybe it's just hanging out with other fellow Christians in conversation, deep dives into whatever topic, or kind of just sharing life and God speaks and all of that. There's all sorts of things that we can do to take in where God tends to speak into our lives. The thing about this is you don't have to find the most perfect thing that does all of it. You just need to find those things where you go, they resonate with me, they speak into me, they challenge me, and they move me forward in my journey of spiritual health. It's just that kind of stuff. Because everybody's different. Not everybody's the same, right? Like for me, podcasts, yes. Weirdly enough, audiobooks, no. I don't know why. Like, I'll listen to an audiobook, and I'm like, no, I'm analog, man. I need paper and ink and a pencil and a pen, and I need to do all. So then it's books, yes, right? But then devotional things, or maybe even like kind of inspirational, motivational things, not so much, right? So everybody's different. How you're wired to hear from God is going to be different than how I'm wired to hear from God, but we want to find those things and pull those things in so that we can, in fact, hear, right? Given the Spirit stuff to work with, giving him the refueling agency. So that's the first thing, right? Refuel, Spirit, and where God speaks. That leads to the second core R in my diamond, resistance. And under resistance, it's when having gas is good. Now, when you hear gas, you might think, oh, like the fuel to fuel the body, and I go, no. And you might think, oh, the exhaust the body puts out. No, I don't mean that gas in either way. I mean a certain kind of gas. In resistance training, gas stands for general adaptation syndrome. General adaptation syndrome. Now, you might think, syndromes are bad, right? No, this syndrome's good. You're like, I don't want a syndrome. No, this syndrome, it's not like, you know, like, I don't know, like typical, like, things you go, like, that's the bad thing. That's like the fruitcake of life. I don't want it. Like, it's not like that. No, this syndrome is a healthy type of syndrome. So here's the definition behind gas. The object is to apply stress on the body that forces an adaptation which generates fat loss and muscle gain. So I'll make this kind of simple for us, right? Let's say you decide you want to lose weight. Here's what you have to do. You have to be in a caloric deficit. And you know what that is? Stress. You feel icky, you feel lethargic, you're like, ugh, this is such a drag. But we have to do that. We have to put a stressor on the body, right? Because what we have to do is we have to reduce the caloric intake, we have to reduce the carbohydrates that turn into sugars in your blood, so that when your blood is kind of sapped of its sugars, your fat cells begin to re-release that sugar into your system, right? And as it re-releases, it acts as energy, and then when you use up that energy, you have an exhaust, and the exhaust is CO2. Here's what's crazy. For every pound of weight you lose, you have to breathe out a pound of CO2. That's how we lose weight. We don't secrete it. We don't sweat it. We breathe out every pound we lose. So to do that, though, you have to be under stress. And so stress makes your body adapt to lose weight. Or if you want to build muscle, same thing. We have to stress your muscles. We have to have you pull up and then let down very slowly. And the let down is almost more important than the pull up. We have to do that and tear those muscles and bring stress. And so you, at first you walk around like a little T-Rex because your arms hurt so bad, right? You're like, why did I do this? This is so much stress, right? But eventually you get stronger and better and your body adapts to all of that. And so we have to stress your body to gain muscle. We have to stress your body to lose weight. And in the same way, spiritually, we have to have some stressors, some things that apply some pressure that make us uncomfortable so we grow. And so there's two areas where I think we have to become uncomfortable sometimes. First, in your notes, we have to dump the stuff that drains spiritual vitality. You have to dump the stuff. Hebrews chapter 12 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses, to the life of faith. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, I love this for a handful of reasons. First of all, he's just talked about a whole list of people in the previous chapter, right? And so kind of the inspiration there is like, hey, man, other people have lived this life of faith. They faced the ups and downs, highs and lows, good and bad. They've done it, but they kept going. But here's the secret. You got to strip off some stuff. You got to ditch the stuff that's heavy and weighty that's holding you down. You got to give it away. So over at the gym, we have a really fun tool. We have chains. Love these chains. Use these chains a lot at the gym for people. But when I read this passage in Hebrews, I go, that's what it reminds me of, right? It's like, this is awesome if you want to develop muscle, but if you want to run a race, this is a terrible tool, right? This is going to slow you down quite a bit. This is going to add roughly another 40 pounds to your gait, your strength, your stride, whatever, and you're not going to be able to go nearly as far. And the writer of Hebrews is using that example, that analogy. Like, there is stuff in our lives that we bring up, and if you leave it buckled to your life, if you allow things there that aren't healthy, or you allow sins that hold on you, it's just going to slow you down. You're not going to run well. You're going to run awkward and challenged and fatigue easy. And so the whole message is, man, you got to ditch the change. You got to drop the stuff. You got to just let it go. And in the context of this, I think it's two things, right? First, it's learning to do the things, or rather, it's learning to stop maybe doing the things that we know hurt God and others, and it's learning to do the things that we know will please God and help myself and help others. And so in your notes, you could maybe see it a little bit differently. Put it this way, it's to cut out the not-to-dos that you know you're doing. To cut out the not-to-dos that you know you're doing. The operative word here is just stop. Just stop that stuff. And I don't know what your stuff is. Right? It could be something as simple as just an unhealthy attitude, a resentful bitterness. It could be some kind of addiction. It could be some private closet thing that nobody knows about. I don't know what the not to do that you're doing is, or, you know, whatever. But again, the attitude is like, man, I'm going to ditch that chain because it's slowing me down. It's getting in the way. I don't want that. The other side of this is this idea of taking up the to-dos that you know you're not doing. Right? Where you go, I need to start that stuff. One is stop, the other start. So maybe it's like, man, I need to start doing more of the Sermon on the Mount stuff. I need to start pursuing the fruit of the Spirit. I need to start giving, and that might be painful. I need to start some different discipline in my life, and that's going to be challenging. I need to level up spiritually, and I know that's going to require some time. See, whatever it means, it just means taking it straight on. Just taking it straight on. And when you take it straight on, you don't simply do it because you go, it's right. You want to do it because it's also freeing. That's the thing I want to, like, when I ditch those changes now, I'm like, whoa, that feels a lot better. I don't even have to watch my step. My knee could buckle. I'm all, and any number of things can happen. And when we ditch the stuff that is harmful, when we take up the stuff that's helpful, it's actually liberating to our lives. Jesus says something really cool in John chapter 8. He said to his disciples, to the people that believed in him, he says, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. But if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Now, I dig this because it's both positional and practical. See, the positional thing is where he's like, man, if I've given my life for you and I've forgiven your sins, you're free. That's the position. It's just settled and it's done. You're actually forgiven by him. But I think there's also a practical side where it's like, man, when you know you've got those things in your life that you are doing that you shouldn't be doing, or you're not doing that you know you should be doing, either one of those, you're not quite as free. You're not quite as liberated. You're not living fully alive like he wants you to. That's what he wants in John 10, abundant life for our lives. He's like, you're not going to have abundant life with those chains in your life. And so he's like, man, you want to stop doing the habits that are hurtful. You want to start doing the habits that are helpful because, man, that's going to set you free. From this, then, you want to build on that momentum. And that is to then load up the stuff that stimulates spiritual growth, right? So you want to ditch the stuff that doesn't. You want to load up the stuff that does. 2 Peter chapter 1 says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We received all of this by coming to know him and his great and precious promises. And so he's like, man, I've just done this for you. So he says, in view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. How? Supplement your faith with a generous portion of moral excellence. And moral excellence, add to that knowledge. And knowledge with self-control. And self-control with patient endurance. And patient endurance with godliness. And godliness with brotherly affection. And brotherly affection with love for everyone. Now, I don't know if you see that there, but we call that progression. Right? It's this idea, you got this and that, add this to that, and add that to that, and add that to that, and that to that. See, in exercise science, we call this periodization. Right? Here's the definition. Periodization is a training method that involves systematically varying training variables to maximize performance and minimize the risk of overtraining and injury. It's a cyclical approach that involves breaking up a training program into phases with different goals. So if you want to grow and adapt, you have to keep pushing yourself. You have to add a thing here and add a thing there, and you up your reps or you up your weight, whatever the thing is, in training. And I would say it's the exact same thing spiritually. Exactly the same. See, our soul, our spiritual life is like a muscle. And if you exercise it, it grows. And if you don't exercise it, it atrophies. So then we want to be looking and saying, man, I want to be progressing. I want periodization in my spiritual life. Now, there's a whole lot of things that we can do to grow. I'm going to give you five simple ideas just to get you thinking about ways that maybe we can make investment. First, it's real simple. It's at the top of the chain, man. Make faith a deliberate priority. All right. So I know in my own life, there's been times where faith is very recessive. It's not the dominant priority, right? It's this thing over here that I dabble with, that I fit into things, but it's not the top tier priority. So we just go, man, I'm going to make sure that in 2025, I'm going to make my faith, my growth, my spiritual strengthening important. And so I'm going to be praying, or I'm going to be meditating, I'm going to be contemplating in some way. I'm going to be grafting in more of a devotional type of life, more of a just a contemplative kind of model for my spiritual development, whatever it is. I'm going to be seeking things of faith more. That's kind of one. Here's another one. Make church a deliberate priority. Again, church is like the gym. It's not the only thing, but it's an important thing. And so you're like, we're going to put that on the calendar as the most important thing we do on a Sunday, as opposed to, well, if there's nothing else on the calendar, we'll do that. Just prioritizing. Next, make community a deliberate priority, right? Connecting with fellow Jesus followers, people on the journey as you're on the journey. Have really intentional conversations with people where you grow and they grow from you. Next, make service a deliberate priority. One of the biggest things I find in our own spiritual growth is when we're serving others, it forces us to grow, in part because sometimes the people that we serve, we don't always connect with, we're not always like them, maybe they're different than us, maybe there's sometimes frictions or challenges or whatever, and that makes us have to lean all the more into the fruit of the Spirit. And then make mission a deliberate priority. Because Jesus calls us to mission. He calls us to live, and he calls us to love, and he calls us to share, and he calls us to be salt and light, like all of that. And we just go, I'm going to make that a deliberate priority in my life. What's great is the more you push in those areas and you do those things, the more you face those things that might be stressors at first. It's like this new thing, and you're going to be a little sore and a little challenged and feel a little depleted maybe in some ways by trying to do these new things. It ultimately causes you to grow. And that's how Peter kind of sums up his thing. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This doesn't mean you have to do it perfectly, right? Because we're not going to do it perfectly. I would say in all of this, it just means that we're trying to do it consistently. Just consistently. And much like life at the gym, if you go, man, I missed a week, and I missed a month, I missed 6 months, don't go beating yourself up. right? Just go, hey, man, today's a new day. I'm going to start fresh today. I'm going to get back at it today. Maybe you go like, I haven't been doing this for a long time, Matt. You know what? That's totally understandable. I get it. Don't beat yourself up what you didn't do, where you haven't come from. Just today, say, I'm going to start fresh. I'm going to do my best to form a habit that is healthy for my soul, right? You just got to give it some gas, apply some of those stressors, and adapt. But I want to give a warning in this too, right? Because under this general adaptation syndrome, there's three stages. The first stage is the alarm reaction stage. Ow, T-Rex, right? The second is the resistant development stage. Pretty soon you're like, oh, I'm getting stronger. I can do a 10-pound, I can do a 15-pound, now I can do a 20-pound. I can squat more, I can do some stuff. But there's a third stage in all of this, and it's the exhaustion stage. And the exhaustion stage is designed to be the last part. But here's a graphic I want to show you for this, right? You get it. You're going, you start, ouch, then you start to grow, and then you're strengthening with resistance. And the exhaustion stage, you want to pass into that. You got to work your body to be tired so it heals. But if you go too far, too long, too aggressively, oh man, now you start to do damage. Now you start to overtrain and overtask your body in negative ways. And here's what I know about God. He knows that we have a tendency to overdo it. He knows that we can overdo our focus, even in relationship to faith and doing all the faith stuff. And so what we need to also make sure we keep in mind is number three in your notes, the rest phase. Like I said, it is about refueling, it's about resistance, but it's also about rest. And rest is the most effective way to get things done. And see, I think this is important because God knows our propensity to fill up life, right? To fill it up. And so with this, again, just kind of two closers with this. The first thing you want to remember is rest from your busyness through boundaries. Rest from your busyness through boundaries. I'm going to show you a picture of one of the greatest sins we as Americans commit every single week of our lives. We're awesome at this. You're going to see it in an instant. You're going to be like, I know this sin. Here's the sin we all commit. Right? We do. It's crazy how much we do that, right? The sin of a saturated schedule. We just happen to just be wired that way. We almost feel like if it isn't all full, we're lazy. If it isn't all full, we're not pulling our weight. If it isn't all full, we're not making it happen. We say yes to everything, and that is one of the great sins we have. We just say yes, 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 yes. We're going to put it all in there. And oftentimes we say yes to lesser things at the cost of the most important things. And so this is what I want to think about it, because when God gives us commands, they're not just simply like, he's like, I just want to see them do stuff. Like, he's got motivation behind it. It's not just the what to do, but there's a why behind it. And when it comes to rest, God has a why. It's a really great why. It says in Isaiah 30, this is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says, only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved or healed, because this is a saved nation. It's Israel, right? He says, in quietness and confidence is your strength. I think that's really good. You want to get the most done in the healthiest way possible? You want to be truly strong in life? Then build some boundaries from busyness and find your rest in God. Like, that's what he's saying. He's like, the more you're coming to me and resting in me, the more you're taking that day, because God gave Sabbath for a reason. The more we take that Sabbath rest, it's not doing nothing. It's doing something so we can do other things more effectively, right? But if we're just filling up the calendar, filling up the schedule, packing every hour with a bunch of stuff, and in the car here and in the car there and doing this and dropping off there and just buying food through McDonald's because that's all we got, and just crushed it in, don't be surprised if you feel crushed inside. You're going to feel tired because there's so much going on, right? So rest. Now, here's the other thing I know. There's going to be some of us in here today that are going to be like, yep, this is me. I need this. I'm all in. I'm all in, bro. I'm going to be hardcore in my spiritual fitness journey. I'm going to be religious about making this happen. Well, before you rush down that road, I want to encourage you, rest from your religious performance through Jesus, right? Don't get all religious about now being religious. You got to remember that the source of the strength is always going to be Jesus, right? Because here's the thing, we don't want to do this because we're like trying to get some merit from God. We want to do all of this because we're actually wanting to connect with God. We want to really know him in a personal and intimate way. And if I went deeper with this, I'd say we want to understand that all of this kind of stuff that I've been sharing is not so much that God's like, I want something from you, but rather he's like, I want something for you. This is why I give you this wisdom and this insight and this direction and these scriptures and the spirit and everything else. I want something for you. And so I close with a reminder from Jesus. It's a good one for all of us. He said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Right, this is where we're going to rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. See, here's what I don't want for us. I don't want for us to look at something like spiritual health and all these things and go, I need to white knuckle my way into doing these things. No, I think we need to look at it differently and go like, I just want to seek Jesus. I want to seek the Spirit. I want to be responsible with my intake. I want to be responsible with my resistance. And I want to be responsible with my rest. But I want all of it to be in that spirit of Jesus, I just need you. I'm just seeking you. And I want to be free in and through you. And so here's the thing I want to put before all of us today, whether you're online or here in the room, a couple of different things. I think for those who would say, I follow Jesus, I'm a Christian, today is just like an opportunity, right? That's what I do like about the new year. It does make you reflect a little bit. And you might say, hey, based on this new year, and I know I got some stuff that I need to tighten up, some things I need to do, some stuff I need to dump, some stuff I need to take up, whatever else. I need to change my regiments. This is a great day just to do that. Don't feel like you need to do all these extra special things to get ready for it. You just say, today, I'm going to do this one next little thing. This one next little thing. Again, what we teach in science when it comes to fitness is like just 10 minutes a day more than you're doing is a major increase. So honestly, 10 minutes a day of just reading your Bible and praying is a major increase if you've not been doing it at all. Go from 10 to 15 if you've been doing this. Like, whatever the thing is, maybe you haven't been serving, now you serve. Maybe you haven't been giving, now you give. Maybe you've been giving, but you give a little bit more. Just that little incremental thing to do those things. Make today the day you do that. Just pick that thing and begin to move in that direction. The other thing is just for anybody who might be with us today or watching, where you go, I'm not a Christian, I'm not a follower of Jesus, but this is making sense, and I need that freedom, and I want this difference. And the way I've been doing life does not feel like I'm living my best life. Feel like there's still something empty and void, and this Jesus would fit that thing that I feel compelled to or a need for. Like, if that's you today, two things. First of all, you know, I don't lead anybody, quote, to Jesus. It's like, you just come and go, Jesus, I want to follow you, and I need you. I know you came for me, lived for me, died for me, rose for me, so that I could be with you. You just say, Jesus, I'm calling out to you. I'm crying out to you. I need you. You make that your prayer right where you're at. He hears that. He knows your heart. He knows where you're really at. But if you made that decision, I would love to know. We would love to know. And so there's this number on the screen. You can just text to that number. Man, I've decided to follow Jesus. Right? And then from that, we're going to reach out to you and give you some direction so you go, I can start doing the three R's. Right? I can start living that stuff out and growing in those things. So I don't know where any of us are at, but right now I'm going to just pray for all of us. Self included, right? Because I was putting this together this week, and I'm like, man, I got some stuff I need to be adding into the equation too. I need to have some periodization and some new one-ups on some things, right? And so let's go ahead and pray together as I kind of pray for all of us. Jesus, I thank you for your goodness toward us. I thank you for the challenge you provide to us. I thank you that you want to stress us, but in loving ways. You want to press us, but in ways that only make us better. And so we know that adaptation is all what the spiritual life is about. It's sanctification is about growth, right? Going to places maybe we haven't been, or addressing some things that we're nervous to address, or again, even pressing toward places that we didn't think were even possible, but you want to take us to. Whatever it is, I pray for all of us. I pray that you will, again, open our hearts and our lives to the things that you know. Maybe we're even timid to address, or we're just holding on really tightly to it. And you're just like, man, I want you to let that go. I want you to take this in. Right, Jesus, whether it's people that follow you or people that are right now saying, I want to follow you, I haven't before. I just pray you take us right where we're at and you move us at the pace you want us to go. And so I thank you for your grace and love toward us. I thank you for the fact that you don't give up on us. I thank you that you inspire us to greatness. And I thank you that you say, hey, if you're weary, you're burdened, you're fatigued, come to me. You don't say, hey, just get off your butt and make it different. You say, come, let me do this in you. So we pray that you will do these things in us. We thank you, Jesus, and we praise you in your kind name. Amen.